Greetings to each of you this morning as we continue our worship service here together. It's good to see all of you here, and it's good, again, a beautiful day to gather together to worship God. I would like to take the liberty to just to remind us to keep Reuben and Sally in our prayers as well, along with all those that Dale mentioned, as they go through the future and see what God's going to do for them on Reuben's behalf as well. When Dale mentioned this is my last scheduled turn to preach, I thought of it this week, and I've been thinking about it, and what's life going to look like, and but I'm not going to talk, that's not my sermon this morning. But I just thought I would mention that, and just to say my appreciation to you. There are some of you that have been here the duration of my ministry here, and then others have come, and you as well, in the time that you, each one of you have been here. I appreciate your love and support and your generosity that my wife and I have experienced through this time. I know that I haven't always done everything right and probably said things that would have been better left unsaid. But aside from that, I want to say I love you and I appreciate each one of you. And I think that's all I'll say about that. I've chosen to speak out of Hosea, one verse, really, Hosea 10, verse 12. As I thought of the meetings that we are looking forward to, we used to call them revival meetings. Now we call them renewal meetings. I guess it's the same, not sure. But as thinking of that and as we prepare for that, so how can I prepare for that time, to be in church for Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and we're planning Sunday evening, but maybe not now. But anyway, 4-5 services, we're not used to that. And so how can I prepare myself? How can you prepare yourself so that you can gain the benefit that you will receive from that? If there's no benefit to be gained, then we may as well not do it. It would be fruitless. But we're looking forward to it as a benefit to help us in our Christian lives. So I've titled this, Preparing Our Heart for God's Blessings. And so I'm going to read the first 4 verses of chapter 10 of Hosea, then I'll skip down to verse 11. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now they shall be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we feared not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely in the making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. And now let's skip down to verse 11. And Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn, but I passed over unto her fair neck. For I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Now, if you look at the setting here of Israel, they are being reproved and threatened for their ingratitude to God. Their land was producing good fruit, but they were using it in a way that was not pleasing to God. They were doing things that displeased God, and so on. So I'm not referring to us as that, as where Israel was at that time. But at the same time, as in our Sunday school lesson, as I read that, it was like there's no connection at all. But as we went through Sunday school, it's like, oh, there's a lot of connection. There's a lot of similarities that we talked about and that are in there that have to do with what I'm going to talk about here in this verse as well. So I'm going to basically speak from verse 12 as my text. So the first thing that jumped out at me was fallow ground. That's a word that we don't hear much nowadays. I do remember hearing it growing up. My dad talked about fallow ground. There was a time in Pennsylvania, and I think there still have been some of those government subsidies that where they paid people to not plow or produce or plant their anything in their land. That government paid you to let it sit idle. All you had to do was mow it, keep the grass mowed. And so that land became fallow. Well, that may not be correct with the definition that I will give you here in a minute. The dictionary says fallow is plowed but left unplanted. And verse 2, or the second meaning, was untrained, inactive as a mind. That would probably fit what this verse is talking about more so. But the writer here is talking about from a farmer's perspective, and he's relating this to Israel's relationship to God. And so I want to relate this as we as Christians, our relationship to God as well, and how it relates to a farmer. There's a lot of similarities that we can take from this. So as I said, that probably wasn't a right definition. That's what they were asked to do, not plow their land, just to mow it. And so fallow probably wasn't the right definition for that. But to leave it unplanted, to leave it idle, do nothing with it. And so as you look at this, and as we look forward to our meetings and what Tom will come and what God will speak to us through him, how can we prepare ourselves for that time? What can we do? Tom was not going to bring renewal. He's not going to bring revival. He can't put it in a suitcase and bring it down here or in a truck and bring us revival. It's not going to happen. He can't do that. But revival has to come, a renewal from within each of us. In our relationship with God, as we cultivate our relationship with God, we will be renewed, we will be revived, and as we plow up this fallow ground. The first part of that verse, it says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. So let the seed, I've divided this into five different sections that I want to talk about here. And so, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Let the seed you sow be of the best kind and in just measure. There aren't any farmers here, I don't think. Well, Townsend, I'm sorry. He's a farmer. But most of you grow gardens. And so, we somewhat understand gardening is a little like farming. Anyway, there's certain things you need to do. So when you go to check to plant, to buy seed, to find what you're going to plant, you check for some good seed. You don't just, if you don't know, you do. But if you have gardened for a while, you understand and learn some seeds and plants do better than others in different areas. So you choose the better seed. And because you want a good crop. You're not just planting it for the fun of it, for the most part. You're doing it, and for some people it is a therapy. So it maybe you just do that so you have something to do. But most of us, I don't think, look at it quite that way. And so you prepare the soil, and you somehow plow it or harrow it, whatever. But there are different things that go into this. You plow it, you harrow it, you level it out, you make it nice so that you can plant a plant, and then you hope God will send rain and water. If not, you water the plant so it can grow and has moisture. And then you need to weed it, because not only does the plant love moisture, but the weeds love it as well. And sometimes they love it better than the plant. So it creates work. So there's something you have to do. You can't just plant it and sit back. I got an advertisement recently. Told my wife I think that's what she needs to do. You buy this box, and it's got, I think, the soil and everything in it, and all you have to do is plant your tomato plants in it and sit back and let it go. And it grows bushels of tomatoes, according to the advertisement. Just set it on your deck. All you have to do is go pick them. I thought it sounded pretty good. But anyway. But in most cases, that's not the way it is. There is some work involved that you have to do. And so, as we prepare ourselves, we need to continually familiarize ourselves with God's Word, and we need to keep that relationship through prayer with God. I know that there are a lot of books that are out there, good devotional books. There are a lot of things that are very helpful in our Christian life. There are a lot of things you hear on the radio that can be inspiring and can encourage you, and they're good. And I'm not negative about those. But don't just depend on that for your the fertilizer, so to speak, to keep your spiritual life vital in a relationship with God. Because those books are good books, but they're not the inspired Word of God as the Bible is. So don't let those take the place of the Bible, but use them as a supplement to help. And I think you do that. But just as a warning, we can sometimes do that, and maybe unintentionally. We'll read a good book or good devotional, and it's very good, but it's another man's idea and thinking. So if you really want to be blessed and really deepen those furrows that to be able to grow spiritually, you need God's Word, and you need to pray with God, so those are a couple of things that we can do to prepare ourselves. And then the next part, it says, reap in mercy. You know, when you plant, you're looking for something to reap. You're looking for a good crop. And so it is in your as you cultivate your relationship with God, you're looking for, and it's an automatic. God just does that. As you give yourself to God and you spend time with Him, He automatically gives to you the blessings that you need, and He adds that what the important ingredients that it takes for your spiritual growth and to nurture that. Let's move on to the next part. Break up your fallow ground. As I said, the fallow ground is a plowed ground, but nothing's done with it. And it's a shallow plowing. So you farmers that have grown up in a home or a family that farmed, you know that you need to, and even in gardening, you need to plow deeper than 1 or 2 inches. You need to plow deep, so that it covers the grass. It all gets buried and underneath so it can decompose. And the soil has a nice soft, or the roots of the plant have a nice soft bed where they can go down and to sprout and to grow strong and mature. If you don't, the plants will be, and I guess we could go to Matthew where Jesus talks about the sower and the parable that he spoke there and how that the seeds fell on hard ground and the roots couldn't go down very deep. And so when it got hot and dry, they wilted and it went away. And that's what will happen in your crop if you do that. The same thing will happen in our spiritual lives. If we just hurriedly have a devotional and hurriedly breathe a prayer as we run out the door or whatever. And sometimes we're caught that way. Sometimes it's just you can't help it. But sometime during that day, take time, slow down, and take some beneficial quality time that is more than because... And listening to things on the radio as well. There's a lot of, as I said, you can be inspired from different speakers and so on, but at the same time, and some of you, you're all different than I am, but I can't concentrate if there's a lot, if I'm trying to read and I'm trying to hear something else, or I'm driving, I'm listening, but I'm observing everything around me, I'm only catching a part of it. So it's not a very quality time that I'm really having. And so in order to have a good, to plow deeply, I have to take that time. I have to sit down. I have to just be quiet and listen and hear and read and pray. And then it will be meaningful and I can expect a good crop. The next one is, let me see where I'm at. For it is time to seek the Lord. This is a time of, and it's not only at this time, but especially as we look forward to meetings, is to especially take the time to seek God in a more determined way. As we approach this weekend. Lose no time. Time is slipping away. If you don't get the seed into the ground, the early rains will be past and your field will not produce a bountiful crop. Don't put off till tomorrow what you need to do today. You've heard that. Your parents have probably told you that, reminded you of that different times. And it's very true in our spiritual lives as well. As I said earlier, you know, we're a busy people. There's a lot going on. We have a lot, and some things are maybe a little bit out of our control to a part or to a point, but it's still no excuse. We need to take the time. If we don't take the time will pass by. You will, you know... Our Sunday school lesson last week is a good illustration of the importance of doing what you can do when you are young and able. Most of you would say, and I just read this morning, I think it was, in Joshua, where Caleb came to Joshua, they had crossed the Jordan and they were dividing the land and so on. They had conquered, I think it was 31 different cities and people groups. And now they were taking a little breather, and yet God said to Joshua, he said, you're old, but there is still some people that you need to conquer that are in the land that we need to get rid of. So Caleb comes to Joshua and he said, remember, I was one of those that went into the land to spy out the land, and I was 40 years old when I went into that land, and I gave a faithful report. And so Moses had said that I would have this certain area of land, and so he said, I would like you to give me that land. He said, I am now 85, 45 years later, and he said, I am as strong today as I was at 40. And I thought, wow, he was a different guy than me. So I don't know, as I thought of each of them, and I know it varies in people, but you that even are 40 or especially 50, you probably won't say that you could do what you did at 40 or 30. Now, maybe some of you would. In our brains, yes, we're just like Francis. You know, when we get older, our brains still think we're young. Jonas can tell you that too, and Rosie. You know, you think you can still do it, but your body says, no, you can't do it. You know, and so it hurts if you try to do it. So you have to listen. And so, anyway, that's sort of a rabbit trail. But I'm not sure what that was about. But anyway, Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Jeremiah 29:13, a very similar verse. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. We live in a microwavable society. We don't have time to wait. If you listen to 99.1, the Good News Network, there's a commentator that has a piece on there each day, and he says we live in a digital society. And I think it's very much the same as microwavable. It's instant. I want it instantly. I don't have time. So I have to do everything on the move. So I'm doing two and three things at a time, and nothing is sufficiently. And so I am become weak as a Christian. If I don't spend the time in the Bible with God and prayer, I become weak. And my crop will look like that. It's like a tomato plant that is just spindly and very, I don't know what the right color is. Right color would be green, but the other color, I guess, would be brown. It's just very, you can tell it's not a healthy plant. And you and I will be the same. And then other people will be able to tell as well how healthy we really are, how much time I'm spending with God. Let's move on to the last phrase. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. If we do our part, God is faithful to do his. If we diligently prepare the soul of our heart, God will bless us for our efforts. And that's very true. Malachi 3:10, there's a verse, says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I know that's talking about tithes, but I think it also can relate to how we give ourselves, how much we give to God. You cannot outgive God. And so we do our parts. We can be assured God is faithful. He will do what he says. I will, he says, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. I picture that as the rains of heaven and the blessings of heaven as God opens those heavens and pours a blessing down on us as we yield ourselves and open ourselves to him. God loves praise. He loves to hear from his people. And so we need to do that. Sometimes we try to outdo each other in things, but we will never outdo God. I was reminded of that at the benefit auction the other evening at Calvary down there. There were people bidding on different things, and they just didn't quit. And they made a game out of it, and it's interesting. And it goes on and on and on. And they bought some very expensive items that we would normally not pay for. But they were trying to outdo each other. But we cannot outdo God. You can give and give yourself and pour yourself out, but God's shovel is bigger. His bucket is bigger. He will outpour you and outlast you. So don't be ashamed and don't be afraid to open yourself to God, because God is faithful and he is just. He loves each one of us so much. And I thought of the account of when God and Moses, through Moses, led the children of Israel out of Egypt. They got to the Red Sea, and now what are they going to do? God said, don't worry about it. Just stand in the, have the priest step in the water, I will take care of it. And he did. He separated the waters. They walked through on dry land. The children of Israel, after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, ready to cross into Canaan, they had the Jordan River before them, and it was at this time of year when the river floods. So what are they going to do? The very same thing. Again, God divided the waters. They walked through on dry land, then the waters came back. That's the same God that you and I are serving today. That's the same God that loved Israel to the point that even though they did so many sins and so many were so rebellious, yet God took them back and he loved them because he had a plan for them. And so he will do for each of us as well. We mess up, we sin, we disappoint God. But God's love is much greater than that. And if we come and seek him and confess our wrongs, our sins to him, he is willing. He is so ready to take us back because he loves us. He loves us so much. We talk about love, but we can't really explain love like God loves. So my question to you is, how will you prepare your heart to receive the blessing God has for you? We will only get out of these meetings according to what we are willing to put into them. You will only, most of the time, you will only get a harvest of a crop according to the efforts you put into it to get. And so that's my challenge to each of you. I know, and I should have, I was going to say this in the beginning and I forgot, but I know that, and I'm not trying to say you don't read and you don't pray. I'm not trying to say that because I know you do. But I also know how I am, and I think I'm not too much different than the rest of you. You take things for granted, and we talked about that in Sunday school, even in our marriage, in romance, and so on, how that after a while you become a little lax, and In our relationship with God, it can be the same way. We become a little bit rusty because we're so busy, and we just need a reminder. We just need a renewal, that's all. We need a revival. And so we need to just plow up, dig a little deeper, plow this ground a little more so that the blessings of God can saturate and fruit can grow. That's what God wants, and that's what I want. For each of you as well. Do we have a closing song, Calvin? 889 in the Christian hymnary. When you find that, you can stand. Thank you, Father, in heaven again this morning for who you are and all that you do for us. Thank you, God, that you're not so far away that you can't reach down and touch us and help us and carry us and protect us. Thank you that your eyes are not dim, that you don't see what we're facing and what we're going through in life. Thank you that your arm is not short, that you can't reach down and touch us and help us and carry the load for us. Thank you. God, we honor you and we praise you today for all the good and wonderful things that you have done for us and that you are doing, even though we don't often recognize them. And so I pray for each person that's here today. God, may you search our hearts and help us to see what we can do, what we need to do. Remind us, God, of that we want to harvest a good crop. And so help us to put in the effort that it takes to do that. We want your blessing. We need your blessing. And so we pray, God, that you would just bless each one in a special way today. I pray for Tom as he comes, that you would bless him also. As he prepares, may he be sensitive to your spirit and may you use him to remind us of things that will help us in our Christian lives as well. And so I pray for your blessing as we part. May you keep us safe in your care, in your hand. Help us to be faithful to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.